Blog Here we go. Talk Radio.
Another edition of Choked Out Radio Live. I am your host, Jim Russell, from the studios in Linden, New Jersey, broadcasting worldwide, through Blog Talk Radio. This is Choked Out Radio Live. I am your host, Jim Russell. Another exciting week of professional wrestling. You had the Shield reunion on Monday, the aftermath of Hell in a Cell Tuesday. Of course, you had Leo Rush on NXT, I believe it was Wednesday, or it's coming up on a Wednesday. You had, of course, New Japan and their show, which I'm not going to recap today, or at least in this episode, but I am going to watch that at some point down the line. A couple of shows, independent shows this weekend, including EC Negro's show with SWF. Of course, you have tonight, Friday the 13th, WrestlePro, which I want to go because I want to meet the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, but I don't think I'm going to make it. But I will be there tomorrow, Capital Wrestling in Hoboken, ran by Matthew Ryan, a.k.a. Matthew Ryan Shapiro, who is the manager of the HOG World Tag Team Champions, the New York Wrecking Crew. Now, I want to get into a couple of things. EC Negro is going to call in, chime in at 3:45. We'll discuss his matchup tomorrow, his great six-man tag, and we'll discuss his evolution as EC Negro, so to speak. But now, let's get into right to it. So I'm going to tell you why the Shield was reunited. It's been mentioned, Dave Meltzer, the god of wrestling outside of WWE, and others have probably mentioned it, and we all know, anybody who has any brains in professional wrestling knows that the matchup at WrestleMania 34, the main event, is going to be Roman Reigns one-on-one against Brock Lesnar 2. So, well, how do you do that? A, you keep Brock Lesnar off television. Obviously, he's off television. He works part-time, but gets paid like a full-time wrestler. And then, the way you do that is, the fans have been calling for it, not from a nostalgia standpoint. They've been wanting it. You know, Seth Rollins, after his feud with Triple H, has kind of been like, in the middle of, in limbo. So is Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns. What's the number one way to keep him out of the title picture and try to have Roman Reigns being cheered? And the only way to do that is to reunite the Shield. It'll, you know, I believe the ratings did spike, or at least impressions did spike. Social media buzz about it. So now, like I was talking to my boys, Henry and Ralphie, what's going to happen is from now to the end of the year, you're going to have a nice program between the Shield and Sheamus, Cesaro, Miz, and Braun. And then once it finishes in 2017, then in January 2018, you're going to have the feud resume between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, whether he wins the Rumble or whether a SmackDown superstar wins the Rumble and he wins a tournament, or he wins the number one contendership in Elimination Chamber, if it's a Raw Brand pay-per-view. I don't know how always it's going to happen. But I know that Roman Reigns somehow is going to main event his fourth WrestleMania in a row this coming April 2018, New Orleans, the Superdome. So he faced Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 31. The rumor is, or what people think, is he was supposed to be Brock Lesnar, called an audible. They felt that he wasn't ready at that present time, and Seth Rollins on the cashing in the Money in the Bank that year. 2016, they, you know, even with Vince, you know, he got a little pop when he won the championship on the Raw or whatever post Survivor Series with his brief feud with Sheamus. And then he lost the championship via the Royal Rumble to Triple H, but Roman Reigns won the championship back at WrestleMania 32 in front of 100,000 people in Dallas. Then fast forward to a year later, where he is the 2 in 23-2 or 21-2, whatever the number is, one of the only two opponents to defeat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, the other one being Brock Lesnar. So that's going to be the angle of the feud between those two as far as them being able to somehow make this somewhat fresh, right? Because you cannot forget or have amnesia of what happened at WrestleMania 31. The only way you could do that or move forward with that feud is, hey, we both beat The Undertaker. Let's see who's the best. Whatever. I'm kayfabing it. I don't know. I'm assuming that's how that is going to go down. Then Brock Lesnar, I believe he has one more feud or mini feud before Roman Reigns, before, you know, I can't believe we're almost in 2018 heading into WrestleMania. It's funny because all roads lead to WrestleMania, and then once it happens, we're there, nostalgia, we're all happy, all giddy, and then once it's over, we're already thinking about the next WrestleMania and the next WrestleMania, and it's always the way it is, and we're thinking about the Raw after WrestleMania, just the way it's set up. So, okay, I just got to alert that Ty Montgomery is questionable, which is fine, because I picked up Aaron Jones, and he's a beast talking fantasy football. All right. So now another incident which was peculiar, to say the least, was Adrian Neville supposedly walking out on Raw this past Monday, very unhappy. You know, let's face it, the Cruiserweight division has resurged Neville's career because, let's face it, when you make that transition from NXT to the main roster, it's not that same crowd of 1,000, 2,000 people in Full Sail. These are different crowds from different cities, different ethnicities, different demographics. You have to be able to promote yourself throughout all those demographics. And unfortunately, some people just can't translate to the main roster. Others, it is because of the writing. But nevertheless, Neville walked out. You know, I believe it was because I guess he doesn't want a feud with Enzo. He doesn't like his position in the company and the fact that he lost to Tozawa. He won the title back. He lost to Enzo. And then now, I don't know. I don't know if he was going to win it back on Monday. But now you could see the frustration, like what happened with Austin Aries. He felt he wanted more in the Cruiserweight division, didn't like the position he was in, and he walked out and he quit. And Adrian Neville, there's rumors that he's walked out. Now, as of 3:37 on Friday the 13th, I haven't read any dirt sheets, so I don't know if there's any truth to this. A lot of people in the WWE inner circle and the what I call the fake beat writers have mentioned how, yes, Adrian Neville walked out on the WWE and on our Raw, walked out for sure that he quit the WWE. That's the million-dollar question. So now, what's going to happen? I don't know. You have now a new Cruiserweight champion in Kalisto. They kind of shot themselves in the foot where if he gets touched, he's fired. So Kalisto was the only person that is not in the Cruiserweight division. I thought it was a good move. I thought it was about time that Kalisto was in the Cruiserweight division. The guy is built for that division. His moveset is built for that division. Is he 205 pounds? I don't know. I guess he is. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is this. It's about time that he finally is in the division. And it's a shame that Aries left. I thought Aries could have been a great Cruiserweight champ and then transition into the United States or IC or maybe even the world at some point down the line. And it's a shame if Neville does walk out. He's a hell of a talent. Yes, he looks, he has funny ears or whatever, funny haircut, but he is a hell of a talent. I saw him, I believe, against Tyson Kidd at a house show a few years ago back at the Izod Center when the Izod Center was still open, and they had a phenomenal match. I believe it was for the NXT Championship at the time. So with that being said, I don't know. Enzo, whether you love him or hate him, he does bring eyeballs into 205 Live, which I told you my opinion time and time again. You know, Eric Bischoff, as controversial as he was, he did do something great with the Cruiserweight division. He signed the best Cruiserweights throughout the world in 95 and 94 and 95, and they always opened up Nitro, and they were a great appetizer for the main entree, being the Hogans and Savages and Bretts and Lugers and Stings of the world. I don't understand, and eventually, at some point down the line, you can say what you want about WCW, but there was some crossover once in a while, which made it interesting. You know what I mean? So I don't understand why can't the WWE emulate or copy, for lack of a better term, the way why can't these guys be an appetizer for the main event? I just don't understand that. You know, can they do a show all alone, 205? There's a couple of issues with 205. Number one is after SmackDown, taped after SmackDown theoretically. So the crowd is tired and gassed after 2 hours of emotional investment, and then what? Have to, you know, charge back up, have a second wind in the cruiserweight division. And I just don't think it's conducive. I think if anything, if they want to salvage that show, if at all, they could move it to a Full Sail University in front of 1,000 people, and where it's smaller, intimate, where they could pump, you know, be intimate with the crowd and the moveset a little bit safer. I don't know. I just feel they should move it to Full Sail, or if not, just embed it all together in Raw and make it a nice appetizer for the main eventers, being the Rollins, the Ambrose, the Reigns, the Strowmans, the Joes of the world. I mean, that's, I've always felt that way. Should they ever have a cruiserweight? Absolutely. Absolutely. But know how to use them. And a lot of people, including myself, have been very critical of how they use the cruiserweights in the past. And now you have Enzo Amore. Now, has a gift of gab. Not really the most skilled wrestler on the roster, but hey, he does what he does. The fans like him. He sells merchandise. He's great on the microphone. That's basically the modern-day sports entertainer today. So that he has half the battle. So, and he lost a big cast. You could have done a storyline where you could have reunited him. You can't reunite him now. So for now, he's just in 205 up until big cast recovers from his ACL tear. Now, as far as the Hell in a Cell, of course, you have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and the Usos against the New Day. Two different types of matches, hell of a result. In the first matchup, amazing chemistry between the Usos and the New Day. They fought at the last pay-per-view in September. They fought at SummerSlam. They fought on Sin City SmackDown, and they finally fought at Hell in a Cell, which for now, I think this is it. There was some great spots with the candlesticks, great spots with the dives, great spots as far as what tag team wrestling. It was amazing, 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 and the Usos winning, which a lot of people complain that it's hot potato with the tag team championship, which I don't like either. I like consistent champions. At least, you know, the TV ones, the smaller mid-card titles could change on TV once in a while, but the main championship, I like to have 6-month reigns or 4-month reigns, and once in a while you'll have a transition champion, which is fine. Usos with that, and now you have Gable and Benjamin, who are the number one contenders. Gable, who's kind of been lost a little bit for a while since Jordan left him to Raw, but now he has Shelton Benjamin, and I think he'll do great things. Maharaja, I guess the match is okay. I wanted Nakamura. I was rooting for him to win badly. Did not. And Maharaja right now is in India, as I suspected, still the champion and promoting the WWE out there. And then also, as far as Hell in a Cell, you have the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn turning heel. He needed it. He was very stale as far as, yeah, basically what he mentioned in his promo was basically real. You know, he came to the WWE and he's been in very, very mediocre. He had a great matchup with John Cena, got hurt during the United States Open Challenge, and then kind of delayed his push. He was involved in WrestleMania 32, and then got delayed again. And we'll see now. Hopefully now in the land of opportunity on SmackDown, he will be able to shine. Asuka is fighting Emma in a couple of weeks. Oh, actually, yes, Shield versus Sheamus, Cesaro, Miz, and Braun. Braun, of course, there's no Joe, there's no Brock. Reigns on the Shield, so Braun, there's nowhere else to put him, so you're going to have to do a 4-3 handicap match. Should be a great TLC match, and I already mentioned earlier as far as why this is happening. As I mentioned, they could have used a Bullet Club. For whatever reason, they did not. I would love to see Balor, but Balor's busy in a program with Finn Balor. I mean, with Bray Wyatt, in this Supernatural feud. Bray Wyatt's sister Abigail, Norman Bates, I don't know. This is going crazy. It's very Supernatural. I like it. Asuka's fighting Emma, and she's fighting Emma because she's not gonna Sasha Banks is not losing to Asuka right away. Bayley is not either. Nia Jax is not either. Dana, Alicia. It could have been Dana Alicia, but I think Emma is a great suitable first opponent for Asuka. And I think I believe that's why Asuka obviously is going to win her debut bout on the main roster at TLC. Hopefully she's recovering from her shoulder, I believe it is, or whatever the case it may be. So you have that going on at TLC. So my guest is supposed to chime in a few minutes. In the meantime, hopefully Samoa Joe recovers. He has some sort of knee injury, which is why we haven't seen much of him since SummerSlam, which kind of puts a damper on Braun Strowman. He's kind of been floating around at the moment, but finally he's going to fight Roman Reigns on Raw this past Monday, kind of reignite that feud and be involved in this super team. They were discussing super teams earlier on First Take, and this is a super team of Sheamus, Cesaro, Miz, and Braun Strowman, four men who could easily be world champions in this era, being that the belts are split, whether it's the Universal or the WWE champion, whether it's transitional or long-term, building a brand around. I think you can build a brand around any of them, or at least a short-term champion, world champion, regardless of the fact. So, with that being said, so that's what's going on at TLC. So, this weekend, SWF, I believe the matchup, I had wrote it down, as EC Negro is going to be involved with the six-man tag involving Hurricane Helms and the Super Savages, Mantequilla and Caveman, going one-on-one against EC Negro, Josh Adams, and Jeff Bravo in a six-man tag. Interesting promo that EC Negro and the Hired Hand Miguel cut this past, I believe it was last night, live from the Bronx. It was interesting how he was in a Spider-Man costume, mocking the superheroes that these guys are, the super faces that they are. So with that being said, it should be an interesting matchup, to say the least. It would be great to see Negro work with Hurricane Helms and to work with the Super Savages. It would be great to see how the six of them interact in that matchup tomorrow. I believe is in Jersey somewhere. And then, of course, you have Capital Wrestling tomorrow live from Hoboken. They have a double main event where the Choked Out Radio is sponsoring. Very interesting concept what Matthew Ryan has. He tapes a couple of times a year, and what he does, he splits the card, and he broadcasts on ILW Network, I believe that's the name of the network, on a weekly basis, and he splits it, and he spaces it out throughout a few weeks, which is interesting. Interesting concept there. Very interesting concept. And the New York Wrecking Crew, which we all know, HOG tag team champions, against the Perfect Strangers, Andres, the Greek, forgot his last name, and, of course, Marquise, a.k.a. Brendan Jolly, who has been a guest on Choked Out Radio before, friend of the program. You know, a lot of these wrestlers are friends of the program. He's a definite friend of the program. So, with that being said, should be an interesting matchup as well. So, after this, I believe Sunday, my schedule is someone had contacted me to be on Choked Out Radio Live. I hope to bring that person in. I contacted a couple of cosplay girls. I was hoping to get them on during the New York Comic Con. It just did not work out. So I have a promotion, I believe, from St. Louis, who wants to get on the show. I'll promote them. We'll chat about wrestling there. And I believe this Sunday, God willing, if all goes well, I want to be able to go back and do MMA. As far as, discussing that, you have, of course, the big UFC from New York City. You have El Cucuy, who last week defeated Keith Lee. And then, of course, you had Demetrius Johnson, who beat Ray Borg via submission, so he has the most title defenses in UFC history. He is the undisputed flyweight champ. So we'll see what happens. Today or yesterday was the presser for UFC 217, I believe, live in Toronto. Michael Bisping, GSP, Joanna Jacek, I believe she's defending the championship then. Should be good. That should be a great fight. I'm on the fence of going. You could say I'm probable of going. I just got to be able to move a couple of things. Financially, got to take care of a couple of things, which should not be a problem as far as going to UFC Live from Madison Square Garden on November the 4th. Great job of the UFC selling the Vegas Strong shirts, to help. And great having those 1,500 responders live at UFC 216. They always say sports is great. It distracts us from what happens in the real world, and we all know what's going on, whether it's natural disasters or unfortunately, incidents like what happened in Vegas, like what happened in Vegas occur. Just stay close to your families and do what you can. And watch your surroundings and be safe. And it's all in hope you can pray that, that doesn't happen again. So I'm with that EC Negro. Should have dialed in 5 minutes ago. I'm not sure what's going on there. But yeah, so that's what's going on in the world of pro wrestling and the world of MMA. This weekend, I probably want to chime in and break down a little bit more. UFC 217 live from Madison Square Garden on November the 4th. A couple of other bouts were signed as well, but I don't want to get into that because, let's face it, this is a wrestling podcast, not an MMA podcast, to say the least. So we've been on the air for about 20 minutes. I'll give it a couple of minutes, and we'll see. Hopefully he chimes in, even like I said. This was originally supposed to be scheduled for Wednesday. I got caught up with work. Also, it was game 5 of the ALDS. No one was going to listen to a wrestling podcast on a night where many of the wrestling fans are also Yankee fans. So it would have not been a great business decision on my part to move forward with that anyway. So with that being said, being that I was off because I had worked, I've worked a lot in my day job, well-deserved 3-day weekend, especially that I did not get a 3-day weekend, Columbus Day weekend, which was last week, and hopefully now I could recuperate and recover well, because October is one of the busiest months on the job. So with that being said, I just can't wait till Halloween, or can't wait till Halloween's over, because that indicates that I've survived on the job. So that's what's going down as far as that. Rumored for Survivor Series, Finn Balor against Brock Lesnar. The thing is, I don't know if this is a very intense feud with Bray Wyatt. How are they going to just stop abruptly with Bray Wyatt and then put him in a program with Brock Lesnar? I just don't understand how that is going to happen. I just don't see it. I just don't see it at all. But supposedly that's going to be his opponent, and then after that he'll take another hiatus, and we'll see him Royal Rumble time, and then from there we will hopefully be able to hopefully he fights Roman Reigns. The bad part about having him as champion is he's never on the show every week, or Paul Heyman's not around every week, so even if he's not around, Paul Heyman's not around as well, so it's tough. You can't defend the title ever on TV, no promos ever, so it's just really tough to have a champion who's not around. So what the plan B is, what you put together the Shield again. So with that being said, let's see what happens, man. Let's see what happens with that. All right. So girls, hookah, bottles, party all night. That's to say that in one of the promos that I wrote, EC Negro on the hired hand, Miguel, was disgusting. So, TLC, you have Asuka, Emma, you have The Shield against Sheamus, Cesaro, Miz, and Braun. And then for the IC, I don't know, I believe the IC championship will not be defended, obviously. And then we'll see what happens with the Cruiserweight. I believe it was a number one contender. I believe what's going to happen is the return bout is going to be Kalisto against Enzo Amore. Most likely, that's the writing on the wall. So, you have 3 matches. This is going to be a very interesting card because you have all of your main players in one match, and then you have to still have a substantial card. I mean, you have a lot. You have a lot of mid-card talent. Of course, you have Bo Dallas. Of course, you have Curtis Axel. Of course, you have Titus O'Neil. Of course, you have a guy who should be in the mid-card picture minimum, who has been treated poorly. Apollo Crews. You have Elias. You have a lot of individuals. And, of course, you have the other tag teams, Anderson, Gallows. You have a lot of individuals which you could use at some point down the line in some major programming. Of course, you have Finn Balor against Bray Wyatt. I just don't know what kind of match they're going to have. They already had the Demon versus Wyatt. They had the man-on-man match. So I don't know where this is going to go. I like it. I like this feud because it's finally – because what I notice about a lot of these feuds, whether it's in WWE or TNA or whatever, it's very vanilla. You know, it's about the bell and this and that. It never gets personal. You know, the only time it's gotten personal is when Triple H is involved and then they pedigree or do something to his wife, this and that, or they break into the house, Randy's house. Then that, I like that. I like that. I mean, you can't do that every time, right? But I mean, I don't want every feud to be a vanilla feud either. So we'll see what happens with Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor. So, I don't know. I have a couple of minutes. Because if not, if he doesn't chime in, he was supposed to call me. I don't know what happened. I hope he's okay. All right. So I got a couple of minutes, and then if not, I just won't have him on, and we'll just reschedule another day. So yeah. So coming up, you have that, and then hopefully leading into the Royal Rumble. The other big news was AJ Styles losing the United States Championship, although he didn't get pinned, which is why Dillinger was in a matchup to Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin's all right. I thought he wasn't ready to win the championship, which is probably why they took it away from him, the Money in the Bank briefcase. Well, if that was the case, then why put it on him in the first place? I guess they called an audible and felt that he did not deserve the world championship in this case. So, I don't know. I don't know. I guess it's a nice, slow rebuild of Baron Corbin. New music, new entrance, still receding hairline, but we'll see what happens with Baron Corbin in the next couple of months. AJ Styles, I like that he's elevated that championship to a whole new level, and hopefully he can continue to keep that championship to a whole new level, and it keeps him busy. It'll keep him busy up until Royal Rumble, where, as I mentioned in the past, where he and him and Nakamura should square off in an epic matchup for at WrestleMania. I believe for the WWE Championship, it should be Nakamura against AJ Styles. It would blow off the roof out of the Mercedes Superdome in New Orleans in April. They had a tremendous matchup at Wrestle Kingdom back in January of 2016, I believe. Yeah, because I believe that's when AJ debuted. Yeah, and then he had his first match against Jericho at WrestleMania 32. Yep. So there you go. So I believe, with that being said, that'll be an excellent matchup. Now, that requires either Nakamura or AJ to win the championship off the Modern Day Maharaja. Modern Day Maharaja, you know, overnight has become a main eventer. Kind of reminds you of JBL. He went from the APA to what? Winning or doing well in penny stocks. Or stocks, and all of a sudden being a Wall Street guru and winning the championship of Eddie Guerrero in 2004. And then the rest, they say, is history after that. I believe that the pushes have kind of like reminded me of real similar, the Maharaja and JBL. But we'll see what happens with that. I believe he loses the championship. If they're going to go with Nakamura and AJ, he's going to have to lose a belt. Right now, he's in India, so I told the world, I said, look, it's not going to happen. He's not losing Nakamura. With them going to India, it's not going to happen. So that's my opinion about that. Then, of course, you have the whole Bullet Club, and there's also the War Games. So number one, War Games, love it. I've been preaching it for years and years and years for them to bring it back. I'm happy they finally brought it back, and it's going to happen at NXT. Houston, you know, Houston, of course, is rebuilding through Hurricane Harvey. And this, you know, the Astros being in the ALCS will really help out as far as, you know, money that's spent there. And if they make it to the World Series, you know, it'll boost short-term the economy there. But with that being said, the War Games being at NXT Houston, it's huge. I've always been a component, a fan of the War Games, and I know the Chamber's a mixture of War Games and the Rumble and all that, whatever. But I think it'll be great, whoever they – and I think it's great that it's in NXT because you have some of the best wrestlers in the world in NXT, and I believe it'll do great. It'll do really great with that. So then now, that's hopefully for War Games. And then for the Bullet Club, I believe it was one of the writers or someone that works for the WWE posed with the Bullet Club outside when they invaded. I didn't even make it a story because – it's been done before, and I know people said they should have embraced it. They obviously did not. And with that being said, you know, it is what it is. Cease and desist on the two sweet. You know, WWE owns the WCW and then the NWO merch, and I believe they own the intellectual property to all that stuff. So with that being said, on the cease and desist. All right, so I don't know. I'm going to give them another 2 minutes. Capital Wrestling is tomorrow, the October the 14th in Hoboken. Matthew Ryan, a.k.a. Matthew Ryan Shapiro, is running that. SWF featuring EC Negro and the Hired Hand Gun. Hired Hand Miguel will be in South Jersey as well. Tonight is DiBiase and WrestlePro live in Rahway. Literally, it's not that far from me at all. It's literally just Elizabeth Avenue straight down, and I can't make it, unfortunately. You have that. Of course, next week you have House of Glory live from the NYC Arena, Michael Elgin in the house. And then, of course, you have Mia Yim in the house. Really, she's squaring off against Sonya Strong. That should be a great, great matchup. I think Elgin is fighting Amazing Red. Amazing double main event. With that alone, it's worth the price of admission. I believe there's a third Nate guy. I'm sorry if I'm forgetting him and I don't have anything in front of me. He will be there as well. And, of course, you have the usual very talented individuals from House of Glory there. And I'm looking forward to catching up with other podcasters and other wrestling fans and looking forward to catching up with Amazing Red and with Brian XL. All right. So I won't give it too much time. I don't know what happened, but I will make sure I'll make it up to you guys. I promise. And all right, it's been a pleasure. So we discussed the Shield reunion as far as why. We discussed the Neville situation. We discussed Hell in a Cell briefly. We discussed Asuka. We discussed Braun. We discussed AJ Styles. We discussed War Games, Bullet Club, you name it. We discussed everything. All right, hopefully you give it a listen. Take care, people. Love you guys. And I will see everyone, some people tomorrow, and I'll see most of you guys next week. So that's my schedule. 14 Hoboken, 21st NYC Arena. Take care, guys.